Welcome to the Private Practice with Soul podcast. My name is Dr. Brooklyn Storm, and I help private practice owners align their business back with their soul's calling, with their big vision, and with their soul's purpose. Unlike other private practice coaches, I've traveled the world in search of spiritual resources, spiritual tools, education, and information so that you can have the transformation that your soul desires and needs, so that you can up-level your business. How much fun is this? I love it so much. Guys, if you're not already a member of the Private Practice Monthly Mentorship Group, please check out the show notes. I would love for you to be there. In the meantime, thank you so much for pushing play today. Let's begin. Good morning. No, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Private Practice with Soul podcast. I'm Brooklyn. It's so great to see you here. And thank you so much. Guess what? We hit a milestone during the week of 20,000 downloads. Now, that might not sound like much to you or compared to other people, but remember, we're in a niche. So this is really, really good. And I just want to say thank you so much for making it happen. You're just the best, and I appreciate you more than you could ever know. Welcome to all of our new subscribers. And of course, thank you so much to all the loyal listeners. That's you. So I had this really great question come through on email. Not going to say who it was from because I didn't get permission to do that, but I can read out the question. So this is it. Hey, Brooklyn, I was just wondering if you've recorded a podcast around time management, specifically around having private practice and working for an organization at the same time. Gosh, haven't we all been there? She said, I'm really struggling at the moment to find time to build my practice, even though it's running smoothly as it is. I want to put more time into the website and referral pathways and all of those vital things. But between work 4 days and private practice 2.5 days and trying to fit in family time and my self-care around that, I just don't have enough hours. Oh my gosh, yes. You're absolutely not alone. I think many of the women listening can relate to that. And then she went on to say that in saying that, I know I procrastinate too because I feel overwhelmed with what to start. And then in turn, I get nothing done other than watching TV. So she finished by saying, just wondering if this might be a good topic for a future podcast. And I'm wondering if others struggle with it. So thank you so much for sending that through. It's such a great question and you're absolutely not alone. And I'm sure, many of us have struggled with that. I know I have, not the kids part, but I certainly have with trying to, you know, there was a time where I was employed as well and trying to juggle private practice around that. And I think too, when we're starting a private practice, there's some of that fear. And so we think, oh, it's a good idea to not go all in with the private practice and totally quit our day jobs. A lot of us just start peeling back the regular work one day at a time as we build up another day at the practice. So yes, let's get stuck into this. It's so important. I think what comes through for me, and I'm sure some of the other ladies listening will have their own different perspectives as well, but what comes through for me is when we're talking about time management and, you know, it's a bit of a struggle, I feel like this is a signal from the universe, perhaps, that something is out of alignment, you know, and that's why the balance is off. I think as women, when we start our businesses, for some reason, we get caught up in, I'm going to say, the masculine energy of doing things, you know. I don't know about you, but I remember growing up, I was born in the mid-70s and I remember growing up with films in the 80s, you know, like 9 to 5 and stuff like that, and big business and all of those. And I remember back then the ladies wearing like, what's her name, Melanie Griffith, in all of these films about women entering the corporate space, you know. And I remember she was always you know, looking very feminine with her blonde hair and her big earrings and the lipstick on and everything, but she'd have these huge shoulder pads on. I remember watching Dynasty and seeing Alexis Carrington with these big shoulder pads on and juggling all these million-dollar deals and stuff like that, you know. And so I think what happened for women is we kind of got exposed to this idea that, you know, if you want to make it in business, in, you know, whether it was corporate or business in general, I think there was a lot of conditioning around the idea that you had to almost become a man or almost had to act like one to be taken seriously, you know, or this idea of, well, you can't cry at work, you know, that's not okay. Men don't cry at work, so you shouldn't. And then we had, you know, women going from wearing you know, the big shoulder pads and the skirts to all of a sudden they start wearing pants suits all the time, still with the big shoulder pads, of course. And then I think it was also we had this idea of like things that we saw on TV, in magazines and around us, in the world around us, of women hurrying and rushing. Like, I don't know of many women that we saw or were exposed to as role models working or starting businesses that were just like really super chilled about it and super calm. It's almost like the narrative became, if you want to be successful in business, you have to work long hours, you have to be busy, you have to leave your femininity at the door. There's no place for that at work. You know, it wasn't until recently that police, you know, there's policemen and women, but the police women, well, at Frankston and Hastings here, they're able to wear makeup now and some jewelry. Like, that wasn't even a thing. Like, that's only a recent thing. So there's not been that acceptance really of femininity in the workplace, or that feminine energy in the workplace. And I think too, a lot of our ideas about what we need to do to be successful are things that feel out of alignment because they are so masculine. It's about having the structures and tracking your numbers and tracking your metrics and keeping your KPIs and doing all of these things and ticking things off and having agendas and blah, 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 blah. And even the act of sitting down like I do, I sit down in front of Zoom for hours a day. And like, there are days that my Apple iPhone will say, well, I only tracked, you know, 144 steps for that day. And it's because, you know, I'm at home, I'm doing everything in my home office. And I'm in that masculine space of I'm just sitting, I'm still, I'm not moving. I'm just at my desk. I've got spreadsheets open. I've got, you know, tabs open. I've got things organized, blah, 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 blah. I'm doing my job. So I think maybe when we're recognizing that time management's an issue, I think what's really going on is it's not about the time and how you're managing the time. I think it's about how you're managing your energy. And it's about being aware of, am I mostly in that masculine space? And is that why I'm feeling exhausted and like I'm pushing and da-da-da-da-da and I'm putting all this pressure on myself? Or is there capacity for me to start bringing in more of that feminine energy? And if I did, what would that look like? Now, when I was first starting, I was very much a hustler. You know, I had the nickname in some psychology groups of being the, you know, like how Arnold Schwarzenegger was the Terminator. They called me the implementer or the actionator or something like that. Like, I had a reputation for being that hustler. Not anymore. And my business is better than it ever was. But I had that in my mind. And I remembered being in courses and doing training with other psychologists at the time, and they were all about the hustle. And so I just thought that's what you do. And like, you know how you become like the five people that you spend the most time with or exposed to or listening to and stuff like that? Yeah, I became like them. And so I just started, plus I'm super competitive in case you hadn't noticed. I just started like emulating that because they were so far ahead of me in their practices. And I really looked up to them and I really respected them. So of course, success leaves clues. That's what I used to think. Thank you, Tony Robbins. And I used to think, well, this is what you've got to do to be successful. So I began being a hustler too. But you're totally right. Like, you just can't keep it up. So no, this is not about how you manage your time, lovely. This is about how you're managing your energy. It feels to me like when you're working 4 days over here and 2.5 over there and trying to do self-care and trying to spend time with the family, it's too much. It's a lot. Something's got to give. I want to ask you, like, what is the cost of you staying in this space? What's the cost of you continuing to work 4 days here, 2.5 days over there, and trying to fit everything else in around it? Because there would have to be some kind of cost. And what's the benefit actually to you doing this? You know, who's it benefiting and how is it benefiting you? And is it actually worth it? So I want you to really think about coming back into your intention and thinking, what is the intention for this practice? You've got it at 2.5 days a week. You're saying you really want to build it. It's running smoothly and that's all great, but you really want to build it. Well, here's the thing, like, hours are finite, time is finite. You're not going to have more time. So you have to change something that you're doing already. And I'm just wondering if maybe there's fear around that. And if so, that's totally okay. And we all would experience that fear. But I would encourage you to reach out to somebody to get some support in diving a little bit more deeply. I can share, for me, it was really around what happens if I don't fill my diary and I can't continue to pay my mortgage, or I can't pay the lease off, or, you know, all those sorts of things. And I think money probably is, for many of us, the first fear. And then everything else kind of, you know, is related to that as a domino effect, I think. So if it is around money, there are absolutely things that you can do to call in the money and to set yourself up with some security. And it would be about being very mindful about how you're setting your fees. The best way I've found to set my fees is to think about how much I want to make in a year, add 30% to that, divide it by the number of weeks that I want to work. So I'll say 44, because you've got to think, well, there's public holidays and this, that, and the other, and school holidays and Christmas and Easter. So I say 44 weeks. And then I divide that by how many sessions I want to see a week. So I might say 10. And then that tells me what my hourly rate's going to be. So, you know, you can absolutely make it financially viable if you understand your numbers and if you understand your figures. And then I think you're going to feel a lot safer releasing a day of that paid work and picking up, or instead of doing, if you're doing 6.5 days, you've only got half a day a week off. So you're working on the weekends. So I'd give up the weekend work, especially that half day on the Sunday. I would give that up and put that over onto a work day. You know, when you give up one of those 4 days, you drop that back from 4 days to three, take your Sunday over to the day that you've just given up. Okay, do you see what I mean? See where I'm going with this? So here's the other thing. Feminine energy is about so much, okay? And one of the beautiful things about feminine energy is that she's about receiving. And so part of me, and I'll get to this in a moment, I won't say it now. Okay, so she's about receiving. She's about working in flow. She's not about hustling and pushing. She loves things that feel easy. So to help you manage your energy a little bit better, it might be helpful for you to structure your day, if you can, around your energy. So for example, I'm entirely in private practice, so I know this is going to be different for you at the moment, but this is what it can look like. I know I'm more efficient and more productive and stuff like that in the morning. So I will only see clients in the morning, and at a push, I'll do a 1 o'clock, right? Really. But I don't really want to be seeing people after 1 o'clock, because I know my energy starts to fizzle around that time. And I won't show up in my best. And of course, I want to show my best self and be as helpful as I can to my clients. So I structure my day now. So my client stuff's in the morning and my admin and working on the practice is in the afternoon. So that works for me. And it means I get to work in flow, which means I'd be more productive. There's no procrastinating and stuff like that, which, by the way, I'm just reading back over what you've said and said in saying that I know I procrastinate because I feel overwhelmed with what to start and then in turn get nothing done other than watching TV. Lovely, that's your masculine energy. Like that's the masculine energy recharges by doing nothing, by watching Netflix and chilling. And maybe you're watching Netflix and you're really into it, but probably you're watching Netflix and it's just going in one ear and out the other. That's okay. It's just you have a masculine mind and there's nothing that masculine needs more than space, peace, quiet, because that's how it recharges, okay? The feminine, on the other hand, likes to recharge by connecting, going out for brunch, going out for drinks with the girls, having parties, going to yoga class, going to ballroom dancing classes, all of that sort of stuff. She's kind of the opposite. So the feminine energy too is about nurturing. And I want to reflect back that I see this, you know, you're saying you're doing your best to fit in both family time and self-care. That's an awareness that your feminine really, really needs this time with you. And that's so beautiful that you recognize that. We just need to find a way for you to make this self-care viable. And self-care can be really simple, short things that don't take up much time or energy, but will help cultivate that sense of rejuvenation, of feeling recharged, replenished, and refreshed. Being out of alignment, though, can happen for so many reasons. And like we were talking about before, in terms of, you know, women sort of going from being at home in the 50s and 60s, starting to have more of a voice and more of a presence in the 70s and 80s, moving into workplaces and, you know, masculine-dominated industries in the 80s and 90s. I think we all have ideas or narratives that we entertain around what it means to run a successful business. And probably we've heard stories from our parents, you know, about you've got to work hard and you'll get there in the end and stuff like that. But here's the thing, hard work has nothing to do with it. There's no correlation between how hard you work and how much money you make, or how hard you work and how many clients you get. I think we all know plenty of people who work really, really hard and still don't have full diaries or still don't have the turnover that they want. There is no correlation. So we have to undo some of the programming that we've been exposed to. And that's a good place to begin. So I guess in terms of how do you bring your energy back in the context of time management and support you with that, is I guess the first thing is there's four steps, okay? The first one is to become aware. Become aware of what you're saying to yourself, what you're thinking, what you're doing, how you're feeling at the moment. And I can see already you're feeling perhaps exhausted and you say overwhelmed and things like that. So you've got all of that stuff sort of going on, but also become aware of how you would rather feel. And it might be the opposite, but it might not. You might say, well, I really want to feel fulfilled, or I really want to feel in control of things. I really want to feel at peace. I really want to feel energized by my work. I really want to feel connected to my family and to myself. I really want to be able to nurture a relationship with myself and my family, as well as my clients, things like that. Step two is to tune into your energy so that you can start to find ways where you can work in flow with it. A simple way to notice if you're in flow or not is if you're doing work and it's feeling pretty easy and you're feeling quite productive and, you know, that's flow. It's all just happening super easily. If you're starting to notice resistance, pressure, a heaviness, all those sorts of things, you're not in flow, you're pushing against. With that awareness of pushing against, you can then make a choice to discontinue and go and do something else, which I would highly recommend you do, because when you come back to whatever task it was that you're working on, you'll be in a much clearer mind and you'll be able to get it done a lot more quickly with a lot fewer mistakes. Step three is to release what's no longer serving you. So have an objective look at life, at the practice, at your work at the moment, and say, you know, like we're saying at the start of the podcast, what's it costing me to keep working 4 days in this job and do the practice 2.5 days? What's it costing me? What's it costing my family? What's it costing my partner or my children? What's it costing my friends when I do this? And is this a cost that I'm willing to continue to pay? And if so, how long am I willing to continue to pay this for? If not, maybe start to, you know, flip that around and say to yourself, okay, well, what are the benefits of me doing all of this? And just see which one feels stronger, because here is the motivation for you to make a change. You're going to want to make a change that either propels you away from something you don't want or towards something that you really deeply desire. And then step four is just to make those changes and to start to tune in more to your energy. Notice what feels good, what feels easy, what feels light and what doesn't. And then take action that aligns the work that you're doing with that energy where you can. And you'll start to notice that things become so much easier. But here again, it's also really important to notice what you feel in your body around receiving. Because the other thing that I think is, time management is a disguise for difficulty with intimacy. I think that when we say time management's a big issue, what we're really saying is, I don't feel comfortable receiving. It's that to receive something requires a level of intimacy, because you have to be open. You have to be, and when you're opening, you're vulnerable. And I think that as women, that's something that we naturally are born to do. We're born to receive, yet we struggle with it. So I don't entirely believe time management is about your diary. I think it's also about issues that might be coming up for you around intimacy when it comes to receiving. And to find out whether or not this could be what's going on for you, it might be worthwhile just paying attention to how you feel if, you know, you receive a compliment. What do you notice in your body, and how do you feel? Is that embarrassing? You know, it's that level of intimacy again, that level of opening up, that level of being vulnerable, that level of being seen. If I gave you huge compliments, if I gave you a big shout out on the podcast, if you won an award for something, you had to get up on stage, give a speech, how would you feel? You know, how would you feel receiving that? You might feel proud, but I bet there'd also be part of you that felt uncomfortable with the intimacy around receiving. And so I think that difficulty with intimacy and receiving manifests as issues with time management. So I would encourage you to reflect on that and just see if it's something that resonates with you. I'm sure it's going to resonate with some of the listeners. But it's certainly something that can be worked through with coaching or mentoring or something like that. It's probably not really a supervision topic, but you could definitely go and get some support with it through other sources. Even other counselors and coaches could be great at supporting you through those intimacy issues. So that's just my take. I told you, like, I have a very different perspective to other private practice coaches, I know. I think they might tell you, this is how you should structure your diary and stuff like that. But I'm all about creating a private practice in alignment with your soul and in alignment with your soul's values and your purpose and things like that. And so for me, time management speaks to things being out of alignment with your energy, the masculine and the feminine. And it speaks to me about perhaps some challenges around intimacy when it comes to receiving. So just my point of view, just my 5 cents. I'm sure this is very controversial. It's probably not what you expect to hear, but hey, that's me, right? I want to say, if you want to talk with me about anything that perhaps came up for you as a result of this, of course, connect with me. Just hit reply. I'll put my email below in the show notes for you. Hit reply because I'm here for you. Obviously, I want to help you get to wherever it is that you really, really want to be with your practice and, of course, with your energy and your life and all of those sorts of beautiful things. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the podcast. I am so appreciative of you. Have a beautiful day, ladies, and I will talk to you on Saturday. Wait, before you go, if you have a topic that you would like addressed, send it through to me on the email. Again, the email's in the show notes, and I'll be happy to make a podcast for that. And let me know if you're happy for me to say your name, even if it's just your first name and where you're from, like Susie from Victoria has sent through a question. I'm happy to do it that way. Let me know. Okay, ladies, have a beautiful day. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Private Practice with Soul podcast today. If you're looking for clarity, if you need help with branding your processes and bringing everything into alignment with your soul's purpose for your private practice, head to the show notes and click the link for more information about the Private Practice Monthly Mentorship Group. You are going to love it. I can't wait to see you in there. Thanks so much for listening. Bye.